Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Al Diaz, author of The Titus Concept, producer of the film Beyond Hope and Transformational Guide, and I also have my wonderful co-host, Tracy Lee, who is a psychic surgeon and distant healer for people and pets. He treats any condition, emotional or physical, from any distance. Today, our topic is moving forward after a life-changing event. First, a couple of announcements. Continue to check back here on Blog Talk Radio on the Rewrite Your Story host page for upcoming shows and co-hosts. And also go to rewritestory.com for a very special gift that we're giving away. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's bring on my co-host, Tracy Lee. How are you doing, Tracy?
Happy Monday, Al. I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Doing really well, too. So how's everything in your end of the world?
Over here in Texas, we had some weird wind last night, and the internet went down in the entire neighborhood. But other than that, can't complain.
Phenomenal. I chose moving forward after a life-changing event because I know that you work with a lot of people in dealing, well, supporting them in their healing process. From your perspective, and everybody goes through things in life that all of a sudden things change abruptly. From your own perspective, and I know you've dealt with changes, what is the best way to handle a situation, that, especially one that catches you off guard?
Well, you know, and I know a lot of people right now would start referencing, you know, the steps to grieving, which is like acceptance and then, you know, acceptance, denial, and all those steps. But I'm going to take a little bit different aim at it and say the first thing that you should do is vow to be self-compassionate towards yourself through the process, because as someone who's gone through these events, you know, you know, things start to lapse, maybe bills or household chores and whatnot. You find yourself behind in day-to-day activities in your day-to-day life, and then you start to get mad at yourself for letting that happen. And then because you're mad at yourself, you know, it creates more stress and more anxiety, which then makes you be caught in the same cycle over and over and over. So I think the first step for anyone that experiences an event is just to stop, take a deep breath, and before we start dealing with acceptance or denial or any of these types of things, say, okay, this has happened, and I'm going to be self-compassionate towards myself and allow myself the time and the opportunity to deal with this.
Interesting. So you feel that being compassionate towards yourself is the first initial step to do or take?
It's not just a step, but it's an awareness of a need to be additionally self-compassionate, or especially self-compassionate during this time. Because when things happen, you know, you're going to fall behind, you know, things are going to get missed. It's not going to seem like your normal life, because your life has obviously been changed by whatever this event is. So you have to allow yourself the time and space to deal with it. And I think that people need to acknowledge that as a first step and kind of be aware that these things are going to happen.
Awesome. Okay. So you become compassionate. And that could be kind of a little bit difficult, because
yes,
you get caught up in the emotion of the event, and then step back and observe the experience, and then tell yourself to be compassionate towards yourself. It could be kind of difficult, but I also understand the reasoning behind it. From your perspective, how would you get over the emotional aspect of whatever the experience is in order to be compassionate towards yourself?
Well, once you allow yourself to have self-compassion, then you can accept emotions that you're naturally going to go through a life-changing event, such as grief, such as depression, such as, you know, depression and sadness, such as anger, such as resentment. And a lot of times people are like, oh, why am I angry? Why am I resentful? But when you start with an attitude of self-compassion, you say, okay, I'm feeling angry right now. I'm going to let this anger pass. I'm going to find a way to deal with it. And then eventually it will start to subside. But if you start before you allow these emotions to come in with, I'm going to allow myself to experience these emotions. And we've talked about this before. It makes the emotions pass through a lot more smoothly.
Hmm. And then at what point do you start dealing with the pain of the event?
Well, there's a really, I think I've brought this quote up before, and this is one of my favorite quotes ever in the history of quotes, and it's by Haruki Murakami, who's a Japanese author. And he says that pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. So, again, you know, you experience the pain. You allow yourself to feel the pain. It's kind of like, you know, if you hit yourself intentionally with a hammer on your toe, like, you know that it's going to hurt. It's inevitable that it's going to hurt. But, you know, you can either sit there and put some ice on it and wait for the pain to subside, or you can just curl up in a little ball and hold it and go, ah, nah, nah, nah. You know, you can accept the pain and be proactive about moving through it, or you can allow yourself to suffer, which is just to kind of wallow and create murky water, so to speak, and just kind of stay still in the pain. There's a difference.
Okay, so and I know one of the things, and I recently became aware of, I diving headfirst into the pain is what eventually brought liberation for me personally, to get to the other side of that. Instead of avoiding the pain, which is what most humanity does, you know, they rather go towards pleasure rather than pain. I came to the realization that diving headfirst into pain is the quickest way to get to do something. But and that worked for me. So I guess I know we're talking about compassion. I know we're talking about dealing with emotion, and I'm bringing up, you know, diving headfirst into pain. From your perspective, what is the quickest sequence, or what is the quickest route to get to freedom, to get moved past this event and get to the other side, to see you can move forward in life?
Well, I would agree with what you just said, that after you have agreed to exercise self-compassion, then yes, dive right into that pain and allow yourself to experience whatever else is, whatever other emotions are accompanying that pain, you know, like anger and sadness. Like, allow yourself to experience them and experience them fully, whether that means, you know, running 10 miles or, you know, taking, you know, there was a time several years ago where I, you know, like that movie Office Space, I went and I got a printer and I smashed it up with a sledgehammer, you know, if you need to do something like that. But what you don't want to do is treat the pain with medications or alcohol or drugs or of the sort, because that just postpones the inevitable, which, like you said, you have to deal with it eventually.
Yeah, you're right. You definitely don't want to numb yourself out from not dealing with it, because then all you're doing is delaying the process of, because eventually either you numb yourself out for the rest of your life, or you're just delaying the process that eventually you're going to have to go through, and it's better to get through it now rather than later. At least that's what worked for me. So I'm going to go to you more personally. When does a person reach out to a healer, and what can a healer do for that person dealing with pain?
When does a person reach out for a healer? Well, I think that from my perspective, being a healer, my number one objective is to help people to learn how to help themselves. So what I don't want to do, and what you shouldn't do if you're out there listening and thinking about using a healer, what you don't want to do is form a dependency on energy treatments, because yes, these energy treatments can give you these kind of high feelings and you feel like you can conquer the world. But I tell my clients who complain about this sometimes, you know, the higher you fly, the harder you fall. So if you allow yourself to have this energetic high, you have to be aware that eventually, you know, it's going to even out. So, you know, learn to use the energy treatments as a balancing mechanism, and learn to use those as ways to help yourself. You know, believe that you can find energetic balance within yourself on your own. And that's, as a healer, that's what I strive to help people to do, is that they can find that balance on their own. I can give them that jump start of that good, you know, that wonderful healing energy. And what they have to do is use it to prove to themselves that they can create that same kind of phenomenon on their own emotionally.
So what you're saying is it's okay to reach out to a healer to get over the hump, but don't have it as a crutch.
Absolutely. I don't like repeat business from clients. Now, if it's a totally separate issue and we're talking, you know, one time they break a toe and then the next time they call because their back hurts, if it's totally unrelated, that's fine. But, you know, if I have a client that reaches out to me about the same issue over and over and over, which doesn't normally happen, to me that's a sign that, you know, maybe I'm doing something wrong. And if you're finding that you need to use a healer, you know, you're forming a dependency on a person to lean on them or to, you know, get those energetic treatments, I would be extremely wary of that kind of relationship. It can be dangerous.
Hmm. Is there, other than healers, is there any other resources that a person can reach out to?
You know, my opinion on this is probably a lot different than other people's. Like, I know that there would be a lot of professionals who would say go to a group or, you know, speak to a counselor. But, you know, for me, when I tried these things, I found it extremely mentally tiring because you had to explain everything and the entire situation behind it. You know, and they just, you just feel like they don't really get it or they don't understand. And it takes time to make people understand. That takes energy that sometimes you don't have. So I'm a really big fan of trying to encourage people to get through these things on their own and trying to find something to hold on to that's positive during the day, even if it's just cuddling with your dog or watching a movie or finding some type of distraction as you're moving through the pain, not to numb it. But I'm a huge fan of advocating people to, you know, to look inside themselves and not to lean so much on or form dependency on others, whether it be a group or a friend or a counselor.
When I decided to deal with the life, well, when I decided to jump headfirst into the pain of the life changing events that I went through last year, I'm going to be honest with the audience, it was not easy, and it was very emotional, and there was, I came very close to giving up. Is there a way to deal with pain of an event?
Well,
I guess what I'm leading up to is there a way to deal with pain? And obviously, I'm not trying to sugarcoat it, but in a way that's easier to get through.
Yeah, again, I take the direct and sometimes the more harsh route with these things, but, and I've used this word before on the show, but there comes a point eventually where you have to exercise radical acceptance, which means, you know, radically accepting that whatever happened, happened, and that you have a choice of, you know, you can either move on or you can sit in it. And that's where I like what Haruki Murakami said, where pain is inevitable, but suffering is a choice. You can choose to suffer and wallow in pain or find a way to move on and try to find some enjoyment and try to find some closure, try to find some solace, try to find some acceptance. But, you know, this term radical acceptance, it's something that it was a huge word for me when I was moving past what happened to me, you know, learning that I was, you know, married to someone with four other wives. You want to ask why, how, when, you know, why me, why this, why that. You know, sometimes you're not going to get the answers to all those questions and you just have to accept it and move on and start to move on. You know, in the case of someone who's lost a limb, you know, and, you know, something like this, it stinks and it sucks. I'm just going to say it sucks. But at some point, you can either choose to suffer and play a victim, or you can find a way to accept it and move on. And this term radical acceptance it was a big word for me. So I like sharing it.
I like that. So, and it sounds to me, radical acceptance takes inner strength and courage to do so. So
it's a lot.
Okay. How do you sum up? How do you bring in that courage and that inner strength to get to that point? And we all have
it. Yeah. So I think it all goes back to we all have this beating heart inside of us, and we all have a survival instinct, and we also all have this fight or flight, you know, kind of reflex or reptilian part of our brain that, you know, is not necessarily always a good thing. But the point being is we all have like a, you know, a ticking life force, and you have to just connect with this life force and grab a hold of your like instinct to survive and just kind of decide that you're going to move on and you're going to trudge forward no matter what. Or you can just sit there and watch everybody else live their life. But, you know, you've got to grab a hold of that life force that keeps us moving forward.
Does it get easier?
It does. You know what? I was just telling my parents this weekend, I never thought I would have arrived at a place where I am right now. And I thought it would never get easier. And I thought it would hurt forever. But you know what? When they say that time heals, time does heal, doesn't heal everything, but it heals a lot and it does make a difference. And if you can find a way, you know, the time is going to pass no matter what. So you may as well find a way to make the most of the time as opposed to making the least of it, because time goes by. And time is an illusion, but in this dimension, you know, it's a reality, and it passes and it goes. And you can either make the most of it or you can let it pass, but either way, it's going to pass.
So we've been talking about several things here, everything from compassion to diving headfirst into pain to perhaps utilizing a healer like yourself to realizing that you have to have some sort of courage and inner strength and tapping into a life force that everybody has. How different is your life now compared to what it once was?
Night and day. I mean, I don't even recognize the person. Sometimes I look in the mirror and I wake up and I walk downstairs and is this my house? Is this my life? Like, I cannot even believe the changes that have happened in the last year in my life. And people ask me all the time, how did you do so much so fast? And it's just that grabbing a hold of that life force and holding on to things that you're grateful for and, you know, insisting on finding something positive to do with your time and day. You know, realizing that there's people in worse situations no matter what, and finding a way to be of service to others. And, you know, there's so many things that you can do, but, you know, when you ask the question, how is my life different? It's, I'm so happy now, and I'm so grateful to be able to be of a service to others and do what I do. And, I don't even know.
We both have gone through the aspect of losing someone. For the audience members, that's probably the biggest grief that a person would go through is the loss of somebody, either through death or separation or whatever. And it hurts, you know. And when I say, how do you get past the hurt? Now, I'm not talking about the pain aspect, the emotional pain aspect. I'm talking about the hurt of loss or the grief of loss. How do you suggest somebody deal with that?
You know, I don't think that pain of loss ever completely goes away. It's going to be something that is a part of you forever. And I'm going to take a non-human example of loss. When you know, stuff was going on in my life and I had a limousine business and the person who was my manager stole two of my cars, including one of my limousines, and half of the stuff in my storage unit. And the thing that upset me the most that he stole out of everything were these $2 bills that my dad gave me when I was a kid. He obviously just stole it for the money. But to me, those $2 bills weren't money. They were a gift from my dad that I have cherished and held on to for years and years. And when I think about the loss of those $2 bills, and this was a couple of years ago, it still stings. You know, I still think, you know, I want those $2 bills back. But, you know, then I think, well, I still have my dad. You know, I have my health. I have my sanity. I have my freedom. But when I think about it, it still hurts. So that loss is still a part of me. But at first, I was so angry, and I just wanted to find him and just hurt him. But, you know, with time, you accept that things happen. You find a way to move on, and you accept that time's going to move on whether you're angry or happy or sad or depressed or energetic or productive. And at a point you just, you know, you begin to let go a little bit and you begin to experience some of that acceptance, even though that pain is still there.
You know what? Another interesting thing that I experienced last year is, so prior to last year, I would, let go, release, forgive whatever emotion I was feeling. But it would work, you know, because that's what people tell you out there. You got to forgive, you got to release, you got to let it go. But what I started doing last year for myself personally is I started leveraging the emotion. Rather than quickly letting it go, forgiving or releasing it, I would leverage whatever it is that I was feeling to get through another day, to get through another week, another month, and to keep moving forward. And I never had done that before. And I was leveraging all my emotions, whatever it is that I was dealing with, I would leverage it rather than quickly trying to forgive and release and let go. And it seemed to work pretty well for me. It kept me at an even keel rather than on a roller coaster ride of ups and downs. And don't get me wrong, did I have ups and downs? Yeah. But not as much as I used to have when I was trying to forgive something. And then from my perspective, to release and let go and forgive, you know, it was a battle because part of me wasn't ready to forgive, or part of me didn't want to let go and wanted to remain angry or disappointed or sad or whatever. But what really worked for me last year was leveraging my emotions and utilizing those emotions to keep me moving forward.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to what we were just talking about, you know, finding a way to tap into that life force. And that's what your life force pointing you in a direction of being, you know, angry or resentful or whatever it was. And you tapped into that life force and said, I have this life force. Time is going to pass. I'm going to, you know, wake up and go to sleep every single day. So I may as well use this energy and use this force for something positive and something good, as long as it's going to happen anyway. And I think that's exactly what you just described. So I couldn't agree more.
You know, another thing too is, and you brought it up, Tracy, is we get to decide what we're going to experience and what we're going to stay at. And there's I can't remember the exact saying right now, but something to the effect, misery loves company, or misery loves misery.
Right.
So if you're in that drama, if you're in that experience and you stay there, you're going to attract or allow to other people and scenarios and experiences that match that, because that's where you're at. And what I realized is when you step out of that, and again, I'm going to lie to you and tell you that you even just said that sometimes you still feel the sting of a $2 bill. But the thing is, as long as you evolve or start to evolve from the experience, and you allow yourself to experience new situations and new experiences. So I guess my point to the audience is, if you would decide to stay where you're at, and as Tracy indicated, suffering is optional. But if you decide to stay in that experience and quote-unquote suffer, then you're going to draw that kind of energy towards you. And then it's just going to make it more difficult, because in your mind you're going to think, well, see, I'm getting confirmations everywhere. I'm suffering, and life is showing me to suffer more because I'm feeling it with even more so. I don't know if I'm making sense here, but
you are. And can I just tie that back to something we said at the very beginning of the show? Because we're talking about suffering being optional and not staying in one place. But if you do experience suffering, this goes back to, okay, be self-compassionate. Say, you know what? I allowed myself to suffer for 6 months, or I allowed myself to suffer for 1 year. I forgive myself for wallowing in pain and for not, you know, paying attention to my family or my home. I forgive myself. I accept that I was going through a hard time, but now that I've forgiven myself, I'm gonna move forward with a clean slate. And you've got to be willing to give yourself that clean slate. Otherwise, you're going to keep recycling the same emotions over and over.
Agreed. And you brought up a good point. You got to forgive yourself for staying in that moment or in that experience, because if you don't, then you got to beat yourself up over. Now, I know everybody's different, Tracy. I know everybody goes through the mourning however they feel compelled to do. But at what point, and I know this is a subjective question, but when is long enough?
There's no way to answer that. There's no formula. There's no set time. I don't believe in you know, you can't compartmentalize, you know, the grief cycle or, you know, how people experience, you know, post-traumatic stress. There's no answer. It's, you have to answer that yourself. You have to look within for the answers and listen for the, ask for the answer and then listen. Ask and thou shall receive. I say that all the time. But no matter how long it's been, self-compassion, forgive yourself for that time that you think that you've wasted, because there really isn't wasted, and clean that slate and be willing to move on fresh.
Right on. Any final thoughts or comments for our audience?
Now, as always, you can find us on the Facebook page and, you know, reach out to us and let us know what you'd like to hear us talk about, or if you have any questions. And just thank you for listening. You know, I'm grateful to be of service and to be able to help others.
Awesome. And thank you for bringing up the page. Normally I say in the middle of the radio show. So do a search on us on Human Odyssey Radio in Facebook, and you'll find us. And join us. I know there's quite a few of you that keep joining us every week, and I thank you. But if you have any questions, thoughts, or comments, post it on that page, and either Tracy or I will reply. And as always, you know, you have the opportunity to reach out to us on the chat room. If you're listening to the recording, tell others about our show. We are here to address whatever's out there, whatever you want us to address. Today we talked about, you know, moving forward from a life-changing event. We are in this together, and Tracy and I here to support and help as many people as possible. And the only way we can do it is by you coming to us and say, hey, can you talk about this or what about that? And then we'll talk about it. I personally, I'm going to tell you, I have all the answers to support you, but I will do my best to support you, and I'm sure Tracy will too. Really quickly, Tracy, how's your tour coming along?
Well, it's starting to pick up. I'll be leaving for China here in a few weeks, and then straight to Japan, and then of course, you know, looking at doing some other traveling in the fall, and hopefully Hawaii to cap off the year. So, going to be a busy year. It's just about to get rolling.
Awesome. So for the audience, oh yeah, and I just remember something. For the audience, Tracy Lee, my co-host, my wonderful co-host, and her website is ZetaLineHealing.com. Did I do that correctly?
It is correct.
Have you had enough of what you're going through? Contact me and let's rewrite your story from the existing pain to purpose that allows you to have a life you truly desire. Contact me at al.diazforlove@gmail.com. And remember that every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, our show that will support you and guide you. Thank you all for joining us. And remember that everything in our past, present, or future is for our best and highest good. Wherever you are at, have a great day or wonderful evening. Thank you, Tracy, for being you. And thank you all for listening.
Oh, you got it. Peace and love, everyone. Have a wonderful week.
You too. Have a great day.
All right. Take care, Al. Thanks.